March 7th, 1970, the Olympics were held in Germany. Vinko Bogataj was a skier from the former Yugoslavia, now Slovenia, who slid off the track on his downhill long jump. It had been snowing a little bit and ice was formed on the ski ramp. He went over the railing, did a cartwheel in the air, hit the ground, bounced up. His skis went one way and his headgear went the other. Though never winning a competition in skiing, he was famous overnight for being the representation of the agony of defeat. He was on TV for 130 times a year for the next 10 years. Jim McKay was the announcer for the ABC Wide World of Sports. The thrill of victory pictured such people as Muhammad Ali knocking somebody out, or the last shot in a basketball game right before the buzzer to win the game. But the agony of defeat, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat, always started with Vinko. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 14, if you will. Matthew 14, 22 through 33 tonight. Famous after falling and then going forward. Famous after falling and then going forward. Anybody ever remember those little toys? Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Boy, there's a lot of old people here tonight, amen. How many of you have never heard of ABC Wide World Sports? They don't even know what that is, right? I do, because there's only three channels at the time. And I was the remote control, hold the antenna this way, turn it that way. Black and white, fuzzy picture here and there. And we would watch the ABC Wide World of Sports. The melodrama of the narrative of the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, which became a catchphrase in the U.S., transformed the uncredited ski jumper into an American icon of bad luck and misfortune. Meanwhile, while having retired to a quiet private home in Slovenia, Bogataj was unaware of his celebrity, and so was so surprised when he attended the 20th anniversary celebration for the Wide World of Sports in 1981. He received the loudest ovation of any athlete introduced at the event. The attendees, such as Muhammad Ali, went and asked him for his autograph. He was so famous. How many of you remember seeing that guy? It's embedded in my mind. There's another story embedded in my mind, and that is Peter. Having the confidence that he wouldn't sin, he would go to death with the Lord. The Lord tested his faith. Peter was wide open on whatever he did. He got in, jumped in, found out the details later, and often made a lot of mistakes. John, by temperament, was more of a contemplative person, looked at, tried to analyze things first. And this was even demonstrated at the tomb. John standing, looking in. When Peter finally got there, he just went right in. And then he noticed the clothes unmoved laying there. And the napkin on where his head was wrapped was folded, laying there. And the impression of the Holy Spirit was very clear. He's no longer here. He has risen from the dead. And that's the victory. Father, we ask you to open your word to us tonight and allow us to see ourselves in the life of Peter. These are why the stories are here. They are true narratives of what happened in history. And I pray that we would learn from them, humbly receive them, learn from them, and learn to have faith in God. You will bring us to things that we cannot humanly pass the test in our own strength. You will assure us that we will not pass it. And then as we depend upon you, Lord, you'll begin to allow us to see your great strength, the beauty of who you are and what you've done for us. And may that cause us to have a greater love for you, knowing how greatly you love us, even when we fail. you love us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at it in Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side, where he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, because you see, that's where the real victories come in spiritual fights. They come through prayer. We don't fight carnally with physical things. You punch me, I punch you back. That ultimately won't win the victory. The victory in the spiritual realm is in the heavenly places through prayer, before the throne of God, before grace. And when the evening was come, we're in verse 23, he was there alone, speaking of Jesus. So he was alone with the Father, in communion with the Father. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. The wind was blowing against them to where they wanted to go. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Fourth watch of the night, since the day begins, the Jewish, it actually starts at night and then day. The watch begins, this is military terms, they call them the watch. The first watch begins at 6 p.m. When's the first watch start? 6 p.m. It's 3 hours, because that's about all a soldier can take to be faithful in his watch. So 6 to 9, and then there's a second watch. What is that? 9 to 12, that's the second watch of the night. That's midnight now. The third watch of the night is 12 to 3, that's the third watch of the night, and the fourth watch of the night is 6 to 9. It was the what watch they were on? The 3 to 6. Which one of the watches do you think it was hardest for the soldiers to stay awake? I'll give you a little hint. It's darkest right before the... So what watch do you think is the hardest one to... Yeah. Huh? The fourth watch of the night, right before the new day starts. I mean, you can look it up. Road accidents, people coming off work, people have worked at night. 6 to 9, dangerous time. You have people coming off work, you have people going to work. It's the most busy time of the day, around 8 to 9 in our culture. So think about it. Usually starts around 7:30 or so. If you live in a larger city and you get out on the road after 7, you might as well hang it up. You're going to be sitting there for an hour and a half. To go a half a mile or two, that's right. I don't know about you, but I like getting out of town when I'm traveling. How about it? Say amen. The fourth watch of the night. So here they were on this. They'd been up all night. And folks, you know, when our physical strength begins to fail, we will be tested. We will be tempted by Satan, but we will be tested by the Lord. You know what we're going to be tempted by Satan? There's no hope. Whatever the situation is, Satan will always try to throw in that fear of having no hope. And folks, it's just a lie. It's just a spirit. It's Satan. It's a satanic attack. We need to pray through things to get strength from the Lord. And guess what happened? Verse 26. In one of their weakest moments, the wind, the waves being contrary to them, this is the latest part of the night, darkest before the dawn. Verse 26, and when the disciples saw, verse 25, and the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. They thought it was an apparition. You know, just something that appeared, since they're so dreary and tired and fighting and the mind's not operating correctly. They thought it's just a spirit, an impersonation. It's not actually the Lord himself. And that's why they were troubled. If you saw a ghost, would you be troubled? You'd be troubled. You got any sense? You'd be troubled. Verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, stirred very deeply, that's inwardly, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway, which means immediately, Jesus spake unto them. And folks, this is what calms our fears, the Word of God. If we can immediately appropriate what we know to be true of God or what He said, Ephesians chapter 6, will be settled in our spirit. The immediate appropriation of what we know to be true of God is the shield of faith. Ephesians chapter 6. You got to put that shield up all the time because you're always being attacked. Verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And I got to tell you, we have the hardest time in our life when we don't acknowledge that we're in the presence of the Lord. If we don't think God's anywhere around us, we're going to fail. If we think that we can carry through life in our own strength, muster up a smile and there's no smile in the heart, we're going to fail. If we think that we're a little bit better than other people and surely they can't pass the test, but we will, we might pass it for a while, but ultimately self-confidence causes you to fail. Because you're so used to it, you don't have to rely upon God. We have a little joke with the deacons years ago. And one guy, I gave this illustration, and I think John every now and then reminds me of it. We laugh about it. And it's this. You mean we got to pray about it? Has it gotten so bad we got to pray? Are we reduced to that now, you know? I mean, and the answer is it's not so bad that we have to pray. We have to pray because things are bad at times. Things are puzzling in life. Why'd this happen? Why'd that happen? And so we need to pray through things, get back up to the heavenlies while we're walking on earth. And the Lord is with us. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. So that's where the good cheer comes from. That's where the encouragement in the heart takes place. And here's Peter. What's the title of our message tonight? I better look at it again myself. Famous after falling and then going forward. Well, here's a famous fall for you. Yet he got back up and he started going forward. Failure is going to happen in our life, but we can learn from it. You know how we can learn from it? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. In verse 28, Peter answered and said to him, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. No other man has ever walked on water apart from Jesus Christ than Peter." And everybody ought to be saying, "Wow, that's wonderful." So though he didn't understand everything, he knew it was the Lord and he stepped out. And really that's an act of faith. I know it's the Lord, and I'm stepping out in faith. And that's what it means to walk on the water. It means to step out in faith. You can stay in the boat if you want and be comfortable, never venture out to anything whatsoever. But, you know, that comfortability, somebody said, "I'm never going to try to do any work on my own. I'm just going to work for the company," what have you. But, you know, the company can just take your retirement away. They can sell out to the highest bidder and be crooks with regard to people that work for them. At least 20, 25, 30 years give you a gold watch. Young people came along in the 60s and 70s and said, "Forget about the gold watch. Working for retirement, we decided we're going to retire now and not even go to work. Live off the parents." That's called the hippie generation. How many of you know there's still some hippies around? Anybody? Flower children. We call them snowflakes today. Can't hardly get an honest day work out of them. Their mind's so filled with garbage. It's true. It just keeps coming back around again. You know it. Know what keeps us going forward after failures in life is not mustering up our best courage, but actually just resting in who God is. That's faith. Have faith in God is some of the kindest words we could ever speak to one another. Have faith in God. And you'll notice right here that the Lord knows when we're afraid. Not me. I'm not letting anybody know that I'm afraid. Never let them see a sweat. Oh, you have fears inside of you at times. Every man, every woman, every child has fears that rise up in them. And these have to be combated with the truth. ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, is that the theme of the CIA? Anybody? Is that their theme? I don't. It's a verse on their building. When you walk into the building, the CIA has up there, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Very interesting. Very interesting. My son might make a good preacher one day. See, he does a little bit of fact-finding, searching things. I like that. We shall see. One thing you're not going to be, Joshua, you're not going to go through life in fear, buddy. You can go through life facing God, and everybody else has to do the same thing. Doesn't matter how old you are, what you're facing, college coming up, all that stuff. Just have faith in God. Now, back on the passage here, and Peter answered and said, verse 28, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Hey, if the Lord lays something out for you and he gives you something clear in the word, act on the word. Acting on the word is faith. The Lord uses one word. What is it in verse 29? Come. You having trouble? Things getting heavy on you? What did the Lord say? Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke of learning upon you. I'm meek and lowly in heart. I will carry the burden for you. You know, when you're training a horse, you have a older one. What are those big horses? Oh, man, I hate to say it, but Budweiser uses them. What are they? Huh? Clydesdales, that's the one. Now, when you're training one of those younger ones, you always put an older one with them first. Initially, the older one's pulling the weight. But did you know in due time that the younger one pulls the weight, though the older one has the experience? Because natural strength eventually overcomes the natural strength of an older person. But here's the thing. Though our outward man be perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day, and we're getting stronger and stronger, not weaker. Though our bodies might be getting weaker. Interesting how things work in the spiritual realm. Amen? But in the younger days, if we have confidence in our strength, to the glory of young men, for instance, is their strength, we will find out that that strength will eventually fail us. We're so used to relying upon it that when we have physical limitations, we're irritated with God because of it. We don't need to be irritated with God because His strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. And these things come along just to show us that we are weak. And the Lord will show His strength through us. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might in the spiritual fight. Don't try it alone. Draw strength from Him. So He just says to Peter, come. And guess what Peter does? He has the audacity to come. He stepped out on the water. Verse 29, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, you can see his leg going over one side of the boat there, then the other, putting the foot in the water. Putting the foot in the water. You know, you have to put your feet moving to walk forward, right? He put his feet on the water, and he began to walk on the water to go to Jesus. Let me ask you something. Isn't faith in God glorious? When you know somebody who's acting out faith in God, is that glorious? Boy, I just wish I had the faith of so-and-so. Well, you can if you come. Nobody has any greater faith than anyone else. It's the same faith. It's just a matter of duration. Same faith. A matter of duration. What's the faith? The faith's in God. But the duration of faith in God is always the issue during the trial. We give up sometimes in the first watch of the night. One little adversity, I'm done. Second watch of the night, more challenges. Third watch of the night, but boy, the last watch of the night, right in the darkest part of the trial, right before the Lord's deliverance, often we quit and go away. A man called me up and said, Pastor, I cussed God today because I failed again. when am I going to get rid of this flesh? I said, well, brother, I haven't physically cussed God with my mouth, but I have cursed God in my heart at times when I didn't like the way something was going. Are you kidding? No, I hate to say it, but I've got downright angry at stuff before, but I didn't tell anybody because I was too ashamed of myself. I said, well, better get alone with the Lord, for I caused some trouble in somebody else's life. You ever felt that way? Yes or no? Yep. And the Lord, looking upon the Lord again, meditating on that cross, I'm thinking, what I'm going through isn't the cross that Christ went through. And it always encourages me that he bore the cross for all my sins, not only all my sins against him, all the sins of all the world. Boy, he's a wonderful Savior. And he's not loving me on my perfect faith. He's loving me that I have any faith in him at all. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30. And that's a glorious thing, walking by faith. That's what verse 39 is. Faith is dependence on what Christ said. Depending on Christ and what he said. That's a word. One word, come. Verse 30. And when he saw the wind boisterous. So where are Peter's eyes now? On the elements. And not the eternal one. His mind's on the elements, not the eternal one. You ever had your mind on the elements? Our eyes have to be on the eternal one, not the elements. When he saw, verse 30, the wind was boisterous, contrary to him, and strong, making noise. Boisterous means raising up waves and making noise. The blowing of the wind, it has a siren sound to it. You know what we're talking about? You've heard it before, right? He was afraid. There he is again. The Lord said in verse 27, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter overcame his fear when he stepped out and started walking. Then the fear came back. How many of you love that fear, huh? I prayed through it. Man, I'm walking in the victory. About 10 minutes later, afraid again. Fear's crippling. What am I going to do now? All these things, we're always attacked with this garbage from Satan. Fears. Fears within, fears without. And the Lord knows, so there's no use hiding it. And Peter was afraid in verse 30. And when we're afraid, what's going to happen to us spiritually? Verse 30, it tells us, beginning to sink. When he was beginning to sink, he had the wisdom to cry out, Lord, save me. And some well-meaning preachers every now and then will say, right there, Peter got saved from his sins. No, he didn't. He's already saved from his sins. He got saved from his lack of faith in God at the time. That's what he got saved from. Oh, you can make a nice secondary message out of it, but it's not the primary interpretation. Peter was already a saved man. He had to repent of his short, acted out faith at that particular time. Look at verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? What caused you to doubt? And the little faith is duration. As soon as he got into it, there was fears there. He was overcoming his fear because he was exercising faith in God. And that's how you overcome fears, by exercising faith in God. How do you overcome fears? By exercising faith in God. This is for believers. For believers who are afraid of the elements, what's taking place, and they're not exercising faith in God, and they're sinking spiritually. Oh, yes, and we can sing the song, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. It's a great song, amen? It just doesn't apply to this. Because Peter's already a saved man. He didn't get saved. How many know you only get saved one time? But how many know you get delivered with that salvation again and again and again? So here he was failing in his acting out of his fate in this particular situation. Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Where was the place that you doubted my word? And that's where we'll find out when we start recovering. Show me the place where you doubted God's word, and that's where you got to go back to. You got to go back to the same place and trust God's word. Faith, little faith, means little duration of faith. You have genuine faith. You're walking on water. I might even start a wet. Yahoo! Walking on the water. But it only lasted for a short time. How many have ever been disappointed with yourself that you just had a little duration of faith when you wish you'd just carried all the way through depending on God? Isn't it a wonderful feeling when you just depend upon God from start to finish all the way through the fourth watch of the night on something? I saw a game in a little league, and I think it was on TV. I'm not sure when it was, but the team that the two teams were playing, and one team got up 13 or 16 or 19 runs. And I think they changed the rules now. If you're over 10 runs, the game's over or something like that. And they were just getting hammered, you know. And then all of a sudden, the team that was getting hammered decided, there's nothing to lose. We might as well just play our game. See, this is a problem all along. And they came back, 13-1, 13-2, 13-3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And before the time they got to the ninth inning, it was 13-14. They were ahead. The other team went back up a run. They came back at one, I think like 15-14. Man, people were, wow, this is awesome. You know, faith is really just knowing what we know to be true about God and acting upon it. Strange how the joy returns when that takes place. Sometimes our faith is just of a little duration, and the Lord uses this several times in the Bible, O ye of little faith. In verse 32, the Lord's always reassuring to us, always comforting. Where did you doubt me? What, you know, looking in the face of Jesus. Now, Joel, where did you doubt me on this? Too many places to even look in your face, Christ. You ever felt that way? You know what the Lord will do? He'll lift your face. No, I want you to look me squarely in the face because I love you. Wow, what a great God we have. Verse 32, and when they were coming to the ship, boy, did he scold them. No, he didn't say that. The wind ceased. Imagine that. All of a sudden, the quietness. Because he has the power to say, peace be still to the winds and the waves. Remember that in another narrative? Verse 33, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Often we fall away from the Lord because we're so involved in so many things, we don't have time to think about the Lord or him working. And the Lord calls us to repent. In fact, one of the checking points of the churches in Ephesus, the believers loved God. Oh man, they loved God. But they got so busy in so many works for God that they forgot to spend time with God. And if you don't spend time with God and you just wear yourself out working for God, your love begins to go down and sink. Look at it, Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. So important to get alone with God and spend time in the presence of the one who loved you and gave himself for you. The message to the seven churches. When we experience the Lord's great love for us, anew, afresh, look at it, the glories of the cross, for instance, that thrill of victory will rise up in our heart again. Revelation 2, 1 through 5. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. And the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know everything that you're doing." Folks, Jesus knows everything that we do. Is that a comfort to you or a condemnation? Should be a comfort if you're walking with God. "I know thy works and thy labor." This is working to the point of exhaustion. "And thy patience." Wow, these are some great character qualities of godly people. Yes or no? Anybody? These are great qualities. "And thou canst not bear them which are evil." For instance, preaching a false gospel, right? We can't stand that, can we? No. "And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them to be" what? "Liars." See, nothing's changed much, has it? There's always liars out there, spiritual liars. Verse 3, "And hast borne," that's to mean to carry through, even though beaten down at times, "and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored again to the point of exhaustion, and hast not fainted." And all God's people say, amen. Wow, what a work ethic. Good for you. To God be the glory. Verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." Well, what's the problem, Lord? "Because thou hast left thy first love." And then here's the doctrine of repentance. Again, even for believers, repentance means to turn around from the way you've been acting, what you've been thinking. Now, it is possible to work yourself to the point of tiredness and not be experiencing the love of God. In fact, if you work in yourself to the point of exhaustion, you might have lapsed into thinking that you have to earn God's favor. And that is the doctrine of devils. That's demonic. We work because we are received, not work to be received. And all God's people say, amen. So you got to get the horse pulling the cart, not the cart before the horse, right? Verse 5, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen." Where'd you fall from? Your very first love. You know, these guys want to marry a girl, what have you, and boy, they're putting on a fine show, aren't they? What's that song? "You send me flowers." Okay. All this other business I hear on the radio on occasion, you know. I want to hold her hand. Maybe she likes chocolate. I don't know. Whatever it may be, you'll figure it out after a while. Because you want to enjoy that favor, right? And then it's very easy after a while just to start taking those things for granted. And you know, we don't want to take the Lord for granted, folks. He loves us, and he gave himself for us. So if anybody's moved in a relationship, it's not Jesus. It's us. That's what repentance means. Go back to the first love. Remember the day you got saved and the joy that entered your heart and your mind of being totally forgiven, totally received, and eternally loved. Ephesians chapter 3, there's a prayer there that you're to pray to be strengthened to experience that love. The Holy Spirit has to do it. Ephesians chapter 3 is a prayer that we would be strengthened inwardly to enjoy and know how much, the height, the breadth, the depth, and to know by personal experience the love of God for us. We're supposed to pray that. Repent. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." What does that mean? That means a true testimony. If we're just working for the Lord and we don't think he loves us, our testimony is going down. Our light's not shining as it should. We're hiding our light underneath a bushel. And we need to let that love come through again. What watch are you on tonight in the trial that you're going through? The first watch, pretty strong sometimes on that one. Not always. Second watch, third watch, doing pretty well. Fourth watch, you're not doing so well and you're about to fail. Maybe you're already falling. But folks, there's repentance, there's restoration and fellowship and renewed relationship with the Lord. It's so wonderful. Go back to the cross. If you want to experience the thrill of victory, you must return to the place your faith rests, and that's the cross. Remember Paul's own struggle in Romans chapter 7. He ends with a declared place of continued victory. Though we fail to trust God at times and experience the agony of defeat in our own life, we can look to him who is the thrill of victory, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our thrill of victory over and over and over again. What did Satan experience at the cross? The ultimate agony of defeat. 1 John 5:4. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Let's sing 4:13. Faith is the victory. Pastor Tom, come and lead us, please. Let's all stand. 4:13.